Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Manxiety Podcast.
We're your hosts, Ashad and Matt.
Before we get started, if you're enjoying the show, please subscribe so you can get notified of new episodes.
If you want to share this with your friends, you can find us on all podcasting platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
This week, we'll be talking about tracking progress. We'll go over some ways of helping you track your progress, what we've done that's helped us, the benefits of doing it, and a little bit into journaling and how journaling can help you both track your progress and help in other parts of your health and your life. Start off with, for tracking progress, you know, how will you know how far you've gotten if you don't keep track of where you are, right? We've spoken in length before about how for a lot of people, because they experience something sort of daily or all the time, that becomes their status quo. And then when something is, you know, one, they don't know that there can be something better or that there is something better. And two, you know, when something is just a little bit better, they think it's such a big improvement. Whereas, you know, if you tracked your progress throughout all this time, you would have known that, you know, a good state of mental health was, you know, over here, and you were, you know, sort of down the line somewhere else. By tracking your progress, you can see sort of where you are in between those two lines and, you know, work your way back up to the best that you can be.
Yeah, 100%. You know, you're not going to go to the gym and just lift random weights every time you go in. You want to have progress, and you want to make sure that you're tracking it so that you know if you're improving or not. Actually, funnily enough, I have a friend that does this at the gym. When we would go together, he just picks random weights every single time and does not track, and was giving me crap for tracking it on my phone. And I'm like, dude, you need to know whether you need to know how many sets and how many reps I'm doing. He's like, we don't need a routine. Just follow whatever you want. Just how many do you feel? You feel like doing 15, do 15. You feel like doing 25 reps, do 20. I'm like, dude, what? Like, that's terrible. And
yeah, that's interesting. I've actually never met anyone that's done that before.
He's a very free spirit.
To be fair, I didn't used to use an app either, but I knew how much I usually did, right? So like I would go and I would do sort of that amount, or I would increase it weekly, but I never wrote it down until a couple of years ago is when I actually started tracking it in a spreadsheet.
Right. If you track in the spreadsheet, you can look back at it. And a lot of times it's because like our memories are just faulty, right? You may think, oh yeah, I did X amount for X amount of reps or whatever, any type of progress. And then you look back and you go, oh crap, I did this, right? For me, in a lot of my journal entries and things that I've written about in the past, I find that I have the same ideas, the same business ideas, the same podcast ideas, random things that have been floating around in my head for years, right? And I just like go back and I'm like, oh wow, I thought about this 3 years ago, and I actually created registered a domain, or I built something or whatever, right? I started on this project and just have to pick up years later because I forgot about it. Because, you know, back then I was bad at tracking it because, you know, I'm not tracking it and not following up with it.
Yeah, I run into that sometimes too, where, you know, sometimes I'll have, you know, this great and novel idea, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to go and do this thing, especially with this podcast. Sometimes I'll, you know, after work, I'll go like, all right, like I should go and start editing this episode of the podcast. And then I open it up and I realize that, hey, I already edited this one. I'm like, perfect. Check that off my list.
Yeah, you're doing tasks before you even know you have to do them. That's always good when you're in that routine of it.
You know, so I guess sometimes it is a good thing to not track progress, because then when you discover that like it's already done, you get like this, you know, this nice little feeling of elation. Now I can do whatever I want instead of having to sit here and edit the podcast.
Yeah, but that's only if you've actually done those things, right? Otherwise, you're just tacking on more tasks.
Yep.
No, I like to keep a running log of different ideas and things that I have. It's basically like my inbox of tasks that I need to work on, and I just add it to my phone, right? So anytime anything happens, I'm going throughout my day, in order to help tracking it, I do that, right? So like if I go downstairs, I'm like, oh, you know, on the downstairs toilet, I need to like add more toilet paper to the toilet paper holder, right? Because it's running low or something. I'll like write that down. I might not do it in the moment. I really should. Like one of the rules that just kind of a tangent here is that like a lot of productivity gurus and whatnot will tell you is like if you can do a task in under 2 minutes and you have to do it, just do it.
Yeah, do it right now.
Right? Because then like you just get it done. You don't have to think about it. Otherwise, a lot of times what happens is you start to have those same thoughts later, right? And then it starts to weigh on you because then maybe you have a dream about you changing the toilet paper or some weird shit like that. Because it's still weighing on your mind, you kind of haven't like adjusted it, which kind of relates a lot to anxiety, right? A lot of times we're worried about things that are going to happen in the future. And the way to help mitigate some of that worry is to sometimes sit down and plan out those particular events, right? Like if you're worried about a trip and it's giving you anxiety, because like in my case, you know, I had to like fly somewhere or whatever, haven't been on a plane in a really long time, then it helps to sit down and plan out what you're going to do and what like what precautions you're going to take. And like, okay, you know, I know like what time I'm going to get there, what airport, I know I'm going to Uber. Like you kind of set things up in your mind beforehand to be able to help you do it, right? And then of course, you know, when you're planning for those things, like I have lists that are specific to traveling or overnight stay anywhere with friends. Like if I have to, you know, crash at somebody's house, if I know we're going to be drinking, I have like a list in my phone that says bring, you know, these 10 things or whatever, right? And that way it helps me not forget it, because in a way I'm, you know, back to tracking, I'm keeping track of what I need to do, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean I hadn't thought of that, but I like to plan a lot of stuff too, especially on trips and stuff. I like to plan sort of what we're doing, where we're going, and all of that. And I do feel better when I'm the one that planned it. Whereas if I'm just, you know, sort of going into it blind, then, you know, you may feel anxious because you don't know what's going on or where you're going, what you're doing. But just thinking about any situation, right, or, you know, even your emotions, it can help a lot to just take some time to maybe sit down, think things through. I know a lot of people, you know, recommend doing that. Steve Jobs is sort of one of my idols, and something that he used to do a lot of was take these walks where he would just think about everything, and he'd just be going on walks in nature, right? So he had the added benefit of being out in nature, getting some exercise, and just thinking things through, and even like having conversations with people. If he had like important conversations to have, a lot of times he would walk with them and have it then. But just thinking anything through helps a lot. A lot of anxiety can get eased if we just sat down and sort of acknowledged, you know, what it is we're having anxiety about, thought through it, you know, why we're having the anxiety, and find, you know, whether there are any, you know, whether there's anything tangible there, whether there's a real reason to have anxiety, or even just to find a solution for something. You know, you may. Like Matt said, have anxiety about flying somewhere, but when you start thinking about it, it may be because, I don't know, you don't know the flight path that it's going to take, right? Or whatever, the safety measures that the plane has, or whatever it may be. Then when you take some time to sit down, figure out that's what it is, and you look into it, then you realize that, hey, you know, I'm adequately protected, or, you know, I have a plan for what I'm doing as soon as I get there, and you can hopefully help ease some of your anxiety in that way.
Yeah, tracking can also help you if you're in a state of panic and worry at the moment, right? Let's say that you track types of episodes you're having with your anxiety, right? Hopefully, when you're doing this, you can kind of break out of some of the negative loops, right? So if you like look in your phone under anxious times or whatever, and you see like, okay, you know, I was sitting in traffic, I was doing this, whatever, and I was really worried about what was going on, but then the end result was I made it to my friend's house fine. You know, I didn't get in a car accident, whatever. And I had a great time at the party I was going to or something, right? So then, you know, if you track those different events, you can look back at it and say, okay, here was something similar to help me reference, like a reference point that happened previously. And here's what the end result was. And hopefully it can break you out of that negative loop. But even if it's not, you know, so much, I don't know, if like you're having a lot of, you know, worrisome days and a lot of anxiety, it's still good to track it, because then you know, if you go to a doctor and you say, hey, this is what I've done, X, Y, and Z, right? And they're going to say, oh, when was the last time you exercised? Oh, well, I worked out yesterday. Or when was the last time you did this, right? Like, it's just having more information for you to have a better grasp on the big picture and tackling those things moving forward.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, it can also help find triggers, right, of what cause your anxiety. So if you, for example, have a panic attack and you write it down, you know, as soon as it subsides and sort of figure out what you were doing at the time, where you were, you know, any of that stuff. You might be able to figure out if there's some sort of trigger that's causing you to have panic attack or to have anxiety or whatever it is. I was tracking it to a certain extent, and I realized that I would get more anxiety towards the late afternoon, early evening. And I started looking a little bit more into it, and I talked about this in the diet episode, but I realized that a lot of it had to do with my diet, because in the late afternoon, early evening, you know, I'd had my lunch, I'd sort of digested it already, and I wasn't eating enough at the time, which I didn't know, but my blood sugar was just all over the place, and that's why I was having anxiety. So I've make a more conscious effort to make sure that I either space out my eating more regularly or eat more, or, you know, if I'm having anxiety, I go and get some food or something, because I was able to track it and figure out what it was. I mean, same thing with going to the dentist. And I know a lot of kids have anxiety about going to the dentist. I sometimes have it too. And it's not even about the pain or any of that. I just don't like being like sitting there sort of not being able to do much with my mouth open. Just feels uncomfortable. So I think that's more of the anxious part. But you know, I've realized that if I go to the dentist in the mornings, I'm completely fine. Whereas if I go in the afternoons, I feel a little bit more anxious. I think a lot of that has to do with, again, the food that I'm eating, or because I'm eating, I feel like I may need to go use the restroom, and I'm in a chair and, you know, my mouth's open, and I don't want to be embarrassed and like get up and go in the middle of like having all that. So, you know, by being able to track this stuff and identify it, I think you can definitely find solutions to the problems and find ways to help ease your anxiety.
Right. Funnily enough, what that reminds me of is I was re-listening to one of our old episodes to check it, to make sure, just see how it sounded. And I say right a lot.
Right.
And the fact that I just said it right before I was coming to my point reminded me of it. And it's funny because I wouldn't have known unless I went back, and I was almost counting it like I was playing a drinking game with myself. We're having a conversation. Right. Right. So do this. Right. So now it's something I need to work on to get better. Right. And I can recognize that. And the way that I did that was to go back and kind of track the progress throughout previous episodes. But for, you know, viewers at home, so instead of turning this into a drinking game, every time I say right, you should do 1 minute of meditation. So just pause it. Honestly, at this point, the episode would probably be like 9 hours if you had to do 1 minute for every time I said right. But if every time I said right, if you did 1 minute of silent meditation, your anxiety would probably be completely gone because of how often I've said that.
And, you know, Matt, I think if I take out all of the times that you said right, our episodes might be about 15 minutes.
What would be left? Ha! Nothing would be left. Yeah, I mean, you have to be tracking things to move towards your goals, right? If you don't have a goal, and like a lot of us have probably heard about SMART goals, right? Things that are specific, measurable,
attainable,
reasonable, timely, I think. That's the five.
I think so.
The idea is like you have to know what the goal is, right? It has to be something that's binary, right? Either you did it or you didn't do it in the end. If your goal is to become healthier or your goal is to like put on muscle, those aren't good goals because it's not like a finite thing, right? And it's hard to do with anxiety because your goal can't be to have zero anxiety, because we know that in life there will be times where you're anxious, and that's partially because, you know, anxiety mirrors excitement, right? with our hormone shift. So you're not going to completely get rid of anxiety, but your goal could be, I want to be able to go to a social event and be completely fine. Or like, I want to hang out with my friends 2 times this month or something, right? Whatever help, whatever like, you know, is kind of like something that's holding you back with the fear and probably causing you anxiety, try and do that thing more, right? That it's like when we first learn how to drive a car, everybody's pretty nervous, right? And then now if you've been driving for 3, 4, 5, however many years, you're probably able to like drive to work without paying attention. You're listening to a podcast, you know, maybe your favorite one, maybe it's two dudes talking about anxiety, who knows? And you know, you're also like eating a cheeseburger. You're doing all these things at once, right? Because you're no longer nervous about it because you've kind of done it enough and you've had enough positive experiences with it.
Well, that sounds like unsafe driving, Matt.
Well, that's hypothetical. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'd like you to reconsider your driving habits.
I don't think I ever eat in the car.
I don't either. I don't like it when people eat in my car, and I don't like to eat in my car either. Well, if I'm having a snack on like a long road trip, that's one thing. But like, I don't like to have like, I don't like to pick up fast food and like eat it in my car or anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, if my blood sugar is low and I need it for sure, you know, give me a little snack. I agree.
Right.
Right. See, fuck, we said right again. Damn it.
Right?
Shit.
It's okay.
But tracking obviously kind of leads into how to track. Right? So there's different... I said right again. Fuck. See, now I'm going to notice it every time. There's different tools that you can use to track. So when it comes to, you know, performance in the gym, you can use a spreadsheet. When it comes to how many days or how many times a day or how many minutes a day you're meditating, you can use a spreadsheet, right? When it comes to how you
meditation tracker.
Yeah. When it comes to how you're feeling, how your day is going about, the best way to probably do that is probably going to be to keep a journal.
Yep.
Right?
And there are some meditation apps that I've used before that, you know, you can meditate and then it'll ask you, how are you feeling? And you can actually choose sort of the way you're feeling and track it over time based on, you know, maybe the first time you meditated, you weren't feeling that great. I think it's on the scale. And sort of you can see whether you're improving and whether meditating is helping you improve. So there are, you know, ways within different apps to track. But yeah, journaling is definitely, I think, one of the best ways to track anything. You don't even have to have, you know, any kind of anxiety or mental health problems, but journaling is just, it's good for you. There have been studies done that show that journaling causes significant improvement in mental and physical health. And I know some people think that journaling is maybe a waste of time and you're thinking, hey, I don't have enough time already, which you probably do, but you're probably thinking, I want to do other stuff with my time and, you know, this is just going to take more time. They have also found, I think they did a study at a law school where some lawyers were saying the same thing, that they just didn't have enough time. But they realized that after they started journaling, they were more efficient and had better time management skills because they were able to sit down, you know, put their thoughts down and figure stuff out by having their thoughts down on paper, which would have taken them longer to do if they were just thinking about it in their head and, you know, maybe going and coming back to it. But what are some ways you journal, Matt? I mean, have you journaled before? Do you journal daily?
I used to do it a lot more than I've done in this past year. My big thing was when I was going through my kind of severe anxiety phase was I would actually journal through voice. I would leave voice memos to myself on a recorder. And I would play through just like what I was feeling throughout the day, you know, how, what I had to do, kind of just like to try and organize all my thoughts, right? And I just, you know, kind of pretended like I was speaking to future me and what I wanted to say. So some days would be like, today was really bad. I feel like shit. I feel like I'm walking through quicksand. I don't know what's going on. All these things. And the hard part about that is it's a little bit harder to pinpoint what entry you're looking for, and when to go back. Obviously, like, the recordings were dated, but it was a little bit harder to, because then, you know, if I, it's like a 5-minute drive to work from where I live. So then it's, I have to listen to all, that whole 5 minutes, right, to really understand it. Whereas with journaling, it's pretty easy to go back, skim to certain dates and read. And I've done a little bit of that.
I do remember your recorder. I may have left you some surprise recordings on there at some point.
Oh, great. Well, see, then I'd have to go back and sift through all these audio files and find the one that's at a really weird time of day. Instead of my normal work hours, it's like,
okay, 30 years from now, you can go back and listen to all your old musings and maybe hear my voice coming through your speaker.
That would be probably terrifying. But maybe I'll be old enough to where I don't really know what my voice sounds like anyways. I'm like, oh, this, who's this guy talking about these issues he's having? He should probably go out and take his fucking meds and meditate a little bit and exercise, diet, and sleep. God damn, I should have listened to me back in the day. What about you? What?
I think you were also talking about actual journaling.
Right. Well, I've done some of it. I actually want to do more of it. When we were discussing this as a topic we were going to talk about, I was like, you know what? I really should start journaling again. And I kind of tried doing it on in like OneNote and keeping it by days, but I think I'm just going to go back to handwritten. Like every day when I get home, just a quick entry on what's going on. What about you? Have you journaled in the past, or have you had a positive or negative experience with anything related to it?
Yeah, I mentioned this in one of our previous episodes, but I started journaling. I was using this app called One Day. I think that sounds about right. Or Day One, sorry. Day One. Mm-hmm. And I did it a little bit number of years ago. This was even before my anxiety or any of that. I just decided that I wanted to journal and wanted to sort of write down some of my thoughts and stuff. So I started doing it, did it for a little bit, and then I stopped. And then, you know, when I started having sort of more anxiety, I started journaling again a little bit, but again, I stopped. And then one day I was like, hey, I should start journaling. And I went in, I was reading through my old journal entries. And there was a journal entry from about 2 years ago where I was supposed to go somewhere with my then fiance or girlfriend, whatever my wife was back then. I don't remember what she was. I think she was my fiance. And we were supposed to go somewhere. And she told me that we talked about it and I couldn't remember. So then that day I said that I'm making a decision to start journaling from this day on, so I remember all of my stuff. And I journaled for 2 days straight and then didn't do it again. I don't know. I like doing it, right? And like I went back and I was reading through it and I really enjoyed reading sort of my thoughts at the time and what was going on. But I've had a similar experience to you where doing it on my phone or a computer, I don't know. I just feel like I'm not able to, one, stick to it, and two, like, engage with it enough. So I think I was actually thinking about it today before this episode. I think I'm going to just grab an actual journal and start handwriting it, like you said, maybe once a day or something, and see if I can keep it up.
You know, we should definitely do that for this upcoming week. We'll both journal. And we can figure out what, I mean, it doesn't have to be anything structured. We'll just kind of hold each other accountable and see what it is. And you know, we'll talk more about that experience in the next episode.
Yeah.
Cause a lot of these things are a learning experience for everyone, right? Like we're always learning new things. Yeah, exactly. We're always learning. We being, you know, me and Ashad are also learning things about our anxiety, our different triggers that we have, all these like little small intricacies, right? And in these complex systems that make up who we are, we're always learning. So, you know, as much as we say, you know, go journaling, this is our experience with it so far, but we want to practice what we preach, right? When it comes to like meds, like I have a spreadsheet that just is called meds, and it checks off whether I like meditated, exercise, diet, and whether I slept. So it's just whether it's pause, like meditation is doing it all, right? 5 minutes, 20 minutes, doesn't matter. Exercise, like, did I do some form of exercise? Diet, did I, you know, achieve whatever my goal was going to be, right? Like if my goal is to cut weight or gain weight, right? Just like, did I eat according to that goal? And then sleep, did I sleep 7 to 8 to 9 hours? And that's helped track, but to take it a step further, yeah, like the actual mental side of it, journaling.
Yep. And I mean, I think you made some good points, Matt, but I think it would be good if we maybe talk a little bit about what journaling can be. Because I think you already said that, you know, you used your voice and you made voice memos. So journaling doesn't have to be necessarily writing it down in a book. Again, we talked about having used the phone app. You know, you can use your computer. Matt's used voice memos. There's a lot of apps out there now that will dictate, you know, your voice to text. So you can use one of those. And it can literally be whatever you want it to be. It doesn't have to be formal. You don't have to do one for each date. You don't have to do it every day, right? And you can have it in whatever format you want. You know, if you enjoy drawing and every day you decide that you want to draw a little picture of how you're feeling that day or whatever you're feeling and write down something about that picture, maybe that's how you journal. And maybe that's how you're able to get your thoughts and, you know, your sort of what you're going through and your emotions down on paper is through a picture, through drawing. But it really can be whatever you want it to be. Like Matt said, he wrote a journal and he was talking to his sort of future self, right? The way that I was doing my journals at one point, and I tried this out for a little bit, was making it like it was a note to my wife, right? So I would write it out like I'm writing a note to my wife, and I would tell her about my day and what was going on and what I was thinking, whatever it was. Now, I never gave it to my wife because it's a personal journal, but it was just a format that sort of worked for me at the time. And I was able to, you know, write down exactly what I was feeling and, you know, what I was going through at the time. So it really can be whatever you want it to be.
Did you pretend that you were like at sea in a foreign land for weeks at a time and you're like, today I consume dairy?
Well, okay, so the funny thing is I was actually, the first time I decided to try that format, I was on a cruise, not with my wife, I was on a cruise with some friends, and that's, yeah, I mean, maybe I was thinking that exact thing, you know, out at sea, writing a letter back to, yeah, you know, back to your loved one or something.
Today I consumed copious amounts of alcohol and ate at the buffet 3 times. I will see you in a fortnight.
Exactly. But yeah, no, I mean, again, it can be whatever format you want it to be. And I mean, just some general tips on how to start and how to journal. You know, maybe you start off by writing a few sentences about a problem you're having or a negative feeling that you think needs to be expressed, right? Maybe something happened to you today, or maybe a coworker bothered you, or you were at work and a customer came in, and whatever it may be, right? You were driving and there was a bad driver that caused you some angst. So you maybe write down a couple sentences about that. Then you want to write down how that problem or feeling, you know, how it lines up with your values, right? Or, you know, maybe how it made you feel, or should it have made you feel that way? Whatever it is, you start sort of analyzing what that feeling or problem was. And then you can start thinking about what you can learn from it or any possible solutions if it's a problem or how you can grow from that experience. Make it, you know, sort of put it into a positive light. And now you're actually spending time, you know, working through your feelings and problems and finding solutions and learning from anything that happened. And then maybe at the end you write a little bit about how you can improve the situation or improve your feelings or make sure that you don't feel that way again next time. And by doing this, again, you're doing a lot of what we said we did after our sort of psychologist told us was figuring out what's causing you anxiety, right? Figuring out why it's causing you anxiety, finding solutions to that. And then you realize that your anxiety is gone because you worked through it. And you can do the same thing through journaling and actually writing it down. And you can do it throughout your day. It doesn't, again, have to be about anxiety. It can be about anything. And a lot of times, you know, when you write something down and you come back to it later, you may find a solution that you hadn't seen at the time. You know, you may be very worked up about it right now as you're writing it down. But you come back later and you have a different perspective on it. And you realize that, hey, maybe I was a little bit mad. Maybe I was a little bit pissed off. Or maybe I was a little bit drunk. So I wasn't thinking straight. And now you're sitting down thinking about it again. You're like, you know, maybe I shouldn't drink as much anymore. Or maybe I shouldn't do something when I do drink because I can't think straight when I do that. So, you know, definitely using that to your advantage and to better yourself, because that's what it is. Journaling is a tool to help better yourself.
All great tips. And, you know, it should be something that's personal to you. You don't have to share with anybody. It may be a little bit harder to think about journaling as a man, right? Because it's very close to a diary, right? Oh, that's a diary. That's girly, like whatever. If you have that problem, if for some reason when you think journaling, you think diary, and then you think like, I can't do it because it's weird or whatever, just call it a fucking training log, right? And it's all about, we're trying to put mass on our brains, all right? We're trying to flex those brain muscles, and we're trying to, fight, choke, anxiety.
My brain's gonna be swole.
If your brain actually does swell up, it might be a stroke. Please see a medical professional.
No, not swell, swole.
Yeah. Oh, swole.
Swole. Swole. Yeah.
With a lot of water, because we're staying hydrated, right?
Yes. I think it'll be good. It's also good to mention that, you know, journaling can have negative aspects if you don't watch out for it, right? If you don't know about it. But, you know, you may write something down, and then instead of finding a solution, or, you know, trying to see it in a good light or better light, or trying to better yourself, you just keep thinking about the problem you wrote down. You know, maybe you had a fight with someone, maybe one of your parents or your significant other, and you write it down, and then you go back and you read it again, and reminds you of that, and, you know, you never worked through why you had that fight or what to do about it, how to move forward, what to learn from it, and it just keeps giving you, you know, keeps making you stressed and keeps making you relive that moment. So you gotta watch out for any of those feelings that you may have, and make sure that, you know, when you're writing this stuff down, you're also writing solutions to them, and writing, you know, learning from them. You know, you may write stuff down and blame other people for everything that you write down. You know, I was driving my car today, and this really bad driver almost hit me because I was trying to make a right turn and they started speeding up. Well, sounds like it was their right of way, and you were making a right turn and you were in the wrong. But, you know, if you blame them in your journal, you're going to go back to it and look at it, and it's going to take you down this negative path, right? It's going to cause you more stress every time you go back and look at it. Probably even when you're writing it down, you're going to relive that moment and go like, you know, get stressed up and worked up about it again. So just keep in mind that journaling is supposed to be a positive thing. It's supposed to help you grow, help you learn from sort of what happened, learn from the way you're feeling, and really explore your problems to find solutions for them.
Yeah, with anything, right, related to anxiety, give it a shot. A shot.
Give me where.
We used to make that joke all the time in college. Somebody would say, like, let's take a shot, and we'd be like, take him where? We were stupid. It's stupid now. I apologize to everybody listening. Nah, not really. But, you know, with anything, give it a try. Like we said earlier, we'll try it out. More of like maybe a formal practice. We'll talk offline and figure out what we want to do. And, you know, anything that's not adding to your life, anything that's not positive, any tip that we give you that's not creating some kind of positive change, man, throw it out. You know, if it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work, right? If you try journaling for a week and it doesn't work, and you don't like it, you don't see the value, don't journal. you know, I wouldn't go as far as saying that with like the meds, right? I'd say you should probably do all those things. But at the same time, you know, if for some reason having an exercise routine and you just can't stick to it and it's causing you anxiety to have to go to the gym or whatever, then, you know, don't do it for a little bit and see how you feel. Right. It's all
find a different way to exercise, right? Or to do whatever. I mean, again, journaling is just one way of expressing your thoughts and your feelings. If it's not working for you, do it some other way. Talk to friends, right? We talked about this before, but, you know, writing it down, if you don't enjoy doing that, if you don't enjoy recording something and it's not working for you, talk to someone about it. Go call one of your friends. If you're, you know, a lot of people do this anyway, but as soon as you have a problem, you know, give your best friend a call, your BFFLL, whatever, I don't know. Those acronyms get pretty long these days, but your buffle, go give them a call. tell them how you're doing, you know, get their perspective on things. And, you know, it has the added benefit of getting a second perspective if you call them, right? Or if you tell someone else about what's going on instead of just writing it down. But yeah, I mean, again, and we talked a little bit about goals, but maybe we can revisit that again, Matt, and just talk about, you know, maybe what are some goals that you have and give some examples of, you know, SMART goals that people can use in their own life. I don't know if you have any goals, like mental health related goals that you've set for yourself before or have for yourself now that, you wouldn't mind sharing with all of our listeners.
My overall goal with mental health for the past almost 4 years now has been just to be like happier, healthier, and more whole. And it's not really a SMART goal. Like there's sub goals to that are SMART, right? But overall, it's just be happy, be healthy, and feel more complete when I'm going through my daily, be more whole. In some regards, it's be more wholesome to other people, like compliment them, be nice to the world, give back, you know, I'm looking for that good karma. But yeah, it's just every day to be a little bit better than I was yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I mean, I think we should all strive for that, right? To be better today than we were yesterday.
You would hope so, but you know, everybody's goal is their own thing. It's their own personal, right? I don't want to tell you a shot or you the viewer, whoever, right, to say you have to do X, Y, and Z the way that I did it. This is the only way to do it. It's not true. Anybody who tells you that, who feels like they have to give you an exact template to do, you know, they probably don't understand where you're coming from. And I mean, sometimes you need that, right? You need somebody to say, hey, you're going to drink, make sure you drink at least 8 glasses of water every day, right? You're going to eat X, Y, and Z. You're going to do this. And a lot of times you look at, you know, like UFC fighters, right? They have somebody who handles all their nutrition, their training schedule, all the stuff. They just show up and do the work. Sometimes you need those types of things, right?
Yeah, if you're the kind of person that needs it, then for sure. I mean, you know, find someone that'll help you. There's dietitians out there that'll tell you exactly what to eat, personal trainers that'll tell you exactly how to train, you know, meditation gurus that'll tell you exactly how to meditate and when and what to do. I don't know, sleep doctors, what are they called? I don't know, doctors that specialize in sleeping or whatever, that'll tell you how much to sleep. You know, you can definitely find that and do it. But like Matt said, there's no one way to do this. Everyone is on their own journey. Everyone has their own life experiences. And so everyone is going to reach their destination their own way. You know, we all have the tools to get there, right? We all have a map, you know, all these things that we're talking about, these are all just tools for us. You know, they're maps, they're GPS devices, they're whatever else. They're there to help us get there, but there is no one way to get there. And we each have to create our own path forward, learn from our mistakes, be willing to, you know, take a few steps back if we realize that we're going the wrong way, and eventually things will work out and we'll get there. I think that's it for this week. Thank you guys for listening in again. If you're enjoying the show, please make sure you, give us a rating, leave us a comment, share it with your friends, and we will talk to you guys soon. Until then, stay healthy and stay safe, everyone.